Hey, everybody. It's Friday. It's January. I have to always turn my head to look at the calendar. It's January 18th, 2013. Welcome to the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. Thank you, Jason, for joining me again for this edition of Mark and Friends. I know we had lots of announcements on Wednesday and really didn't get into the meat and potato of some of our merged gospel studies, but I had a great time having you in here and covering so many different things this radio ministry is involved in and just the vision that we have for the future, and a special announcement I'm hoping in a couple weeks to maybe be able to disclose or talk about over the air. But we appreciate your prayers on behalf of this radio ministry. We appreciate your financial support, your volunteer efforts, showing up to various events like the Rabbi Jesus series. It's been so great to see so many of you pack a room, sitting shoulder to shoulder together, dividing God's word and sharing, and just the camaraderie and the discoveries that we made together and the discoveries that we'll continue to make. And tonight, there's still an opportunity, realizing that this morning's program re-airs in the evening. If you still can plan to join us at 6 p.m. tonight at the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet, it's a special Israel night. John T. Somerville, who was featured on the Monday edition this past Monday on Mark and Friends, he shared some of his life story and about CUFI, Christians United for Israel. I think you'll be encouraged and blessed, maybe challenged. Maybe it'll help you think through some of the scriptural mandate about supporting Israel. What does that mean? How does it mean to be used of God in such a way? I think John will be able to answer a number of questions and lay out a really interesting timeline on how he's seen God work through world history and the biblical narrative, how it all ties together. So that's tonight, 6 p.m. at the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet. And Great News Radio is one of the sponsors helping to bring John to the area. And I've heard him speak a few times before and think he really has an interesting insight into some of the things that maybe you've never thought about, your church has maybe never taught, or maybe you've never learned. So that's tonight, 6 p.m. at the Community Evangelical Free Church. Free event, open to the public. Mm-hmm. Come join us for a time of study and learning and of fellowship. And let's see, how's that bed making coming along? Ah, threw you on that one. You know, your New Year's resolution. Was it last Friday you were sharing?
Yeah, I didn't make the bed the other day. Yesterday, I think it was. Yeah, I didn't make the bed yesterday. So, but she had some great. She didn't say anything, so I think we're still okay. But then I let her sleep in today, so that. Yeah, so we're tracking.
Yeah,
I think we're okay.
I don't know if do I need to hold you accountable for that, because I know that was something.
I'm just not good at it. Yeah, I hate it. I'm not good at it.
Okay.
I don't see the point in it. I'm just going to be honest with you. Maybe it's just like a guy thing, but you're going to get back into it later on in the day. So, you know, I mean, like when you get out of a sleeping bag, do you zip the sleeping bag up or do you leave it unzipped? I think you leave it unzipped so you can get right back in later on. Why add a step to something that doesn't need to have a step added to?
It's been interesting because the last year or so I've kind of gone back and forth, but I tend to typically make my bed, and I have no reason to because I don't have people really coming upstairs or looking in the bedroom, especially when I have studio guests. For the most part, we stay downstairs here, but something I just still do it,
But isn't the bedroom not somewhere where anybody really supposed to go? I mean, like, I don't invite people over to my house and go like, hey, why don't we go sit on the bed?
I mean,
the only people who are in there are the people who sleep in the bed. And then it's always ready for them.
I know, but there's probably dozens, if not maybe half the audience that would say, oh, it's so important. And maybe it's just to have that kept room. And, you know, the women, like, they arrange all those pillows onto the bed or who knows. But I see it both ways. But I've actually been making my bed. But with mine, it's you just pull up that one sheet and then you pull over the bedspread and you can kind of cover up. I mean, I don't really make it well each time. I just kind of do
the
quick
over. Do that thing? Because sometimes when I'll make the bed, I'll leave the book I'm reading in the bed, and I'll just pull the covers up over the bed, and the book will still be in there. Because I just go, well, I'm going to pick it up right there anyway. Yeah. I'm a minimalist. I'm like, you know, I'm going to make
it. Well, I think
easy.
You used last week, it's like time management.
It is.
Yes.
It totally is.
Oh, I'm sure we'll get some letters or comments on that, but I'm sure a number of the men could say, yeah, honey, why do we have to do the bed thing? But hey, that's a part of life. It's that refining process, and people like to have order, and maybe their rooms count. It's probably like the men, like the women's will leave the screwdrivers, whatever, on the desk or table, and why do they have to go back onto the wall or into the nice little
that
holder
makes me
or whatever?
Crazy.
Yeah, see, it's all there.
Makes me crazy.
Yeah, so.
Like, what are you using needle-nose pliers for? Oh, to open that jar. I'm like, Can they go back in the garage?
Yeah.
That's where they belong, not in the kitchen.
Well, so there's probably, it's just point of view, right? Isn't that what life's all about?
Yeah. Yep,
hey,
yep.
Tell me about Boaz's point of view, or maybe God's point of view in inspiring this book of Ruth.
What a transition. So if you want to grab your Bibles, and if you're driving in the car, just keep listening. Don't grab your Bible because... if you're going to go meet Jesus, I guess having his word open is a good idea, but let's try and let you stay here a little while longer. Ruth chapter 3 is where we're going to be at today. We finished chapter 2, and we're heading into chapter 3, and chapter 3 is, chapter 3 is amazing. Chapter 2 to me is phenomenal, but chapter 3 is, it's sort of like chapter 2 is that album that you get in your hand or that record you get in your hand, and you think, this band could not make any better music. And then the next one they come out with, the next album you get in your hands, you go, oh, my gosh, I can't believe they did it.
Now, some people are going to say, what's an album? You're dating yourself. Like, an album? What? Huh? What are they talking about?
I just shared this last week in church about an icebox, and all our youth sit in the front two rows, and they looked at me with blank stares on, like, icebox? What's that?
Yeah.
You know? Which reminds me, it's funny, when I was a kid, my grandmother used to call the couch the Davenport. And we always used to go, what's a Davenport? You know, so he just had this whole generation.
And for those of you unfamiliar with the Friday's edition of Mark and Friends, for the past, I guess, 8 or 9 weeks, Pastor Jason Schiffo has been joining me, and we've been studying the book of Ruth and really, literally going verse by verse through it, through the biblical narrative, and why God includes the book of Ruth in the holy inspired scriptures. And Pastor Jason Schiffo is the senior pastor at the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet, and he's been joining me for, I guess, close to, 15 months. He's been a part of this radio ministry, so appreciate our friendship and his ability to devote time to this morning's program and other radio events, including tonight's event. But if you aren't familiar with our radio ministry, stop by greatnewsradio.org. And there's a little link called Staff. And I think I did this some time ago, but I think I posted a photo of you there and a little blurb and some of our other staff and strategic volunteers that help this radio ministry. So this on this Friday edition of Mark and Friends, I guess we'll be looking at Chapter 3.
Chapter 3. It says, one day, Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her daughter, should I not try and find a home for you, where you will be well provided for? It's interesting what Naomi's doing here. Is she's doing her duty. She's doing a duty that she has. But she also has been praying for Ruth. Because for her to say this to Ruth, she's probably been praying and asking God, and it's she's been asking God for this Hebrew word called menoah, which means a place of quiet, of comfort, of rest, of peace, of total trust. Naomi believes that Ruth deserves this. That's why she's telling her, shouldn't you go and find a home, a place for you where you'll be provided for? She's going, you deserve this. You deserve something better than what we're having here. Remember, a number of weeks ago, we talked about the fact that Naomi and Ruth are widows. And widows then were really just tossed to the social service of the day, which was to come behind and glean grain, which was to beg, or was to hopefully have somebody who would take an interest in you and they would provide for something for you, some meager something for you. But these women are poor. They're beyond poor. Now, in the chapter before, Boaz has made an amazing contribution. I mean, it's almost like a divine fiat what happens for him to give her this ephah of grain, this 30 to 60 pounds. I mean, a huge amount of grain. But here Naomi's making a logical argument for Ruth on what she should do. And she's doing that out of Deuteronomy 25:25, which says, if brothers are living together and one of them dies without a son, his widow must not marry outside the family. Her husband's brother shall take her and marry her to fulfill the duty of a brother-in-law to her. So what this piece of scripture in Deuteronomy is saying is that there's an obligation to the family to try and help this widow. It's not her fault that he died. And so she's making this. And it also comes out of Leviticus chapter 25 and 25. And you can go and look at that. It's the Levitical law of redemption. And because Naomi believes that Ruth has been so good and so humble and so loving and so faithful, she deserves redemption. She deserves to have a place of rest and a place of peace.
I was going to derail you, so be ready. Derailment is a term that we use on Fridays or on Wednesdays when I talk with Pastor Jason Schiffo. But anyways, this derailment, isn't there that illustration? Is it the Sadducees or something where they said to Jesus, such and such dies and she marries the brother and it happens with seven brothers, who in the resurrection will be married to this woman?
That's like huge.
Okay.
We'll talk about that for hours. I mean,
okay.
It's one of the points where Jesus actually agrees with the hardline guys. Jesus doesn't agree with the liberal Hillel. He agrees with Shammai, and it's really fascinating that he does that because 99% of the time he agrees with Hillel, very liberal, loving teaching. He's very hard-edged.
Well, part of the issue, they were just trying to trap him and say there isn't a resurrection, and he's saying, no, there is a resurrection, but there's not.
That's the reason they got the Sadducees to come and talk to him about it, because the Sadducees didn't believe in resurrection.
Okay.
So then she says, is not Boaz, with whose servant girls you have been, a kinsman of ours? She's saying, what about Boaz? And she says, tonight. And I love this. I want to share with this. Sometimes I run across a Hebrew word, and I love it. And in this, the transition here in this verse where it says, tonight. Tonight is the Hebrew word la'il. And the word la'il means when the light begins to be held back and the darkness begins to creep in. It's a very physical nature to this word, that the light is being held back somehow, and as it's being held back, beneath it the darkness begins to creep in. It's a beautiful Hebrew word. And she says that when tonight, this time when darkness is creeping in, that Boaz will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor. And I joked when me and my son were looking at this piece of scripture, he asked, is Boaz a horse? Because this winnowing. And I said, no, Boaz isn't a horse. So I have to kind of make a... But then we sang a song. It was like, is Boaz a horse? Of course, of course. No one can... You know, we just did that for fun at our house.
That along with your, who let the Ruth out?
Yeah.
Ruth.
But this tells us something about Boaz. Okay, this tells us, I mean, we've been learning a lot about who Boaz is. He's a good man. He's not just a good man, but he's a gospel man. He's a man after God's own heart. When he comes and he sees all his workers, he begins to pray for them, and he begins to say, wait, who's that girl? I haven't really prayed for her yet. And he invites her to the table, and he feeds her, and he shows the young men and the women what it means to be a godly person. I mean, he models it and calls them to that. And here he does another thing, which I think is fascinating, because Boaz is the rich man. Boaz is the man who owns something. Boaz is the owner, the manager. He's the Donald Trump of this field. But it says, tonight Boaz will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor, which means Boaz is going to be working. He's unpretentious. He's a man who leads from the front. He's a man who's not afraid to get his hands dirty. He's the kind of leader who says, you know what? There's work to be done. I'll be right there with you. And I love that about Boaz, because once again, Boaz is modeling that a godly man loves work. A godly man says, work is great. It's okay to work. I mean, I know way too many in my time with Jewel and that management-wise, you know, store managers who would just sit. The only time they would get up was to make the grand loop around the store to be able to greet everybody, and then they go back in and sit back down, and people had to come to them and work. Oh my gosh, that was never going to happen. But Boaz gets out and he gets his hands dirty. He leads from the front. He's doing this at sunset, between 4, 5, 6 p.m. And what they would do is they would use a rake, and they would take this rake and they would throw the grain up in the air. And the breeze that would be coming from the sea, because these threshing floors would be in an elevated area, the breeze would come and it would help to separate the grain from the shoots from the chaff, you know, the chaff and the grain. So he's doing this on the threshing floor, or also known in Hebrew as the trampling floor, which would be out, like I said, outside the town on an elevated area where those western winds would help. And she tells Ruth, she says, tonight, you know, this time when darkness is creeping in and light's being held back, to wash and perfume yourself, to put on your best clothes, then go down to the threshing floor. But don't let him know that you're there until he's finished eating and drinking. And when he lies down, note the place where he's lying, then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do. She tells her, she says, two things here. Number one, intentionality. There's no doubt in my mind that Naomi here is being led by the Holy Spirit. Naomi is not being conniving. She's not trying to hatch a plan to get Ruth somewhere to live. She's being led by the Holy Spirit in this moment. And the other thing, timing. Timing is everything. She's saying tonight. What I think is she's saying is, hey, time is drawing short. God's been doing something. You need to get up and get moving, because you know what happens is that God calls us into a moment and we don't, in obedience, step into that moment, and that moment passes us over. You know, time moves in a linear fashion. God doesn't keep stretching a moment out for you waiting like, Mark, will you some point be obedient and step into this? No, God moves past that moment and then calls someone else into that moment. And here, God closes doors. God opens doors and God closes doors. And just think about all the times that something amazing has happened. God has somehow done a divine fiat in your life, somehow where God has met you in one of those ordinary days that became extraordinary because of God's presence. How many things, I mean, count how many things went into that moment. How many people God divinely placed in that moment, and circumstances and all different kinds of things that went into that moment. Well, that can't last forever. I mean, I was just thinking about a young boy that we knew who he had been having a lot of trouble breathing. His mom took him to convenient care. And when she got to the convenient care, they said, hey, we're going to be closing. It's not really a good idea for you to be here because the doctor's not even here. We'll have to call him back in. But if you go down the street to the ER, they'll be able to see you right away. It's going to cost a little more money, but they'll see you right away. And she got to the ER, and right as she got to the ER, her son went into a cardiac arrest. And right as her son went into a cardiac arrest, a doctor was getting ready to punch out who was a cardiologist and a specialist right there, like feet from it. And I remember sitting with this family, and there's a whole lot more to this story. It's an amazing story. But I remember sitting with the family that night, and we counted the ways that God met them in that moment. Even from the woman where God closed the door at the convenient care and said, no, you know, it's not a good idea. We don't really want to see you here because we're going to be closing. You're being turned away. I mean, most of us would say that's a negative. I'm being turned away from being cared for. And yet God was closing a door because he had another one open. And there he had a cardiologist who was getting ready to punch out and go home, but was there long enough to be able to go, wait a second, I'm going to step in here and I'm going to save this kid's life. I mean, all the nurses and people, just amazing. People would say, well, this was my day off. Really? Well, why are you here? Well, I just stopped in. No, you didn't just stop in.
Right.
There's none of us who did that. You know, I mean, how many stories begin with, well, I was just... No, you weren't just. You were obedient to God calling you into a specific moment.
And we talked about that on Wednesday, God's providence.
Yeah, God's providence. There's no such thing as happenstance. It's all about providence. That's one of the things that the book of Ruth, as I studied it, has taught me, is that there is no moment that just happens. These moments are God-authored moments because there's more than just me. I mean, it would be a Jason-centric view to believe that I arrive into this moment and it's all about me, and this moment is all about just me arriving into it. No, God has been cooking this moment for quite a long time, and he's chopped up some nuts and some carrots and all kinds of things and thrown it in there, and that moment has so much to it. But we don't believe that. I mean, because we take our eyes off of God and we put our eyes on us. And Naomi is saying here, you need to go do this now. I think that Naomi, because she's being led by the Holy Spirit, she's saying, time is drawing near. This door may close soon. Because you notice that this happens at the end of the harvest. The harvest is ending. Now, how important is this moment?
And it's really important, and I want you to stay on this line, and we only have a couple of minutes, but I firmly believe, Jason, God is using you right now as a catalyst for somebody that is maybe not operating in the moment. They're maybe been thinking and overthinking and waiting and waiting and waiting, and God is saying to them, take action today, take action tonight. Maybe it's calling up a relative, maybe it's bringing healing or a loving word or something to a situation. I believe right now there's opportunities for all of us to be attentive to God's leading and prodding and to take action. And so there's somebody right now, I'm sure, that needs to take action. They know they need to take action. They've just put it off for whatever reason. They don't want to be rejected. They feel out of their comfort zone, maybe initiating or whatever. But I would say that maybe there's a reason you're tuned in this very moment and God wants you to take action, like Naomi suggested to Ruth. this very night, take action.
Yeah, take your eyes off of you and put your eyes on God. Because in our own minds, in our own hearts, and it's been a real helpful practice for me as of late to do this. You know, I want to, at the very core of who I am, I want to be obscure. I want to do things my way. I want to have my quiet time. I want to be left alone when I want to be left alone. I want to do things on my timetable. And you know what? That's not possible because the author and perfecter of the universe, God Almighty, is leading and directing my life. There's no way I'm – look, at when somebody says, you know, I like being unknown. You're not unknown. God knows who you are. There are three people. Look, if you're listening to this and you go, nobody knows who I am. I am utterly unknown. There are three people right now who know who you are. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. They got your number. They got your name. And by the way, they led you to listen to this right now. There's no such thing as an obscure person. The Bible is replete with names that we have so much trouble pronouncing. And you know what? They were obscure, unknown, ordinary people. And God knew their name so much so that through the Holy Spirit, He captured them and wrote them down in the Bible. I'm fond of saying that right now I think we're authoring Acts 29. I think that next chapter of Acts, where Acts leaves at Acts 28, Acts 29 is what we're doing right now, and that every single one of our names are being captured there. The Bible says in Revelation that God has a book, and in that book are all of our names. I mean, really, God knows who you are, and God has authored and divinely moved you into a moment by circumstance and by whatever it is. And He's calling you in that moment to hear Him and listen to Him and to do something. And by the way, if it's uncomfortable, if it's crazy, if it seems out of bounds, if it seems unattainable, that's definitely Him. That's definitely, give it a minute because God's cooking it and it's going to be okay. But that's what happens. God has called you into a moment. And that's what happens here. Naomi says, do this now. Because the harvest is almost ending, the door is almost closing, and God, who can do all things and anything, has made an invitation for you to come into this moment to do something. So as Mark said, maybe there's somebody you need to forgive. Maybe there's somebody you need to encourage. Maybe there's somebody you need to wrap your arms around who you haven't in a while. Maybe there's a son or daughter who are wayward, and they've left home, and they've left the faith, and they've left all kinds of things, and you need to make a phone call because somebody has to be the peacemaker. Somebody has to be the peacemaker. And God has called you into this moment, maybe by the very nature of you listening to this show. It's a call from God for you to do that.
Amen. And I know we don't have time to go there because SRN News is up next, but you had mentioned everyone's name is written in the book of life. Well, God knows all of our names, but we're not necessarily all written in that book of life unless we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know what you meant, but may today be that day where you determine to follow the Lord Jesus Christ so that your name is in the book of life. Because God knows your name, God loves you, God has a plan and purpose for your life, and it's knowing His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Draw near to God, and He'll draw near to you. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.